Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna.
Prabhu, Madanga Prabhu, Hare Krishna.
Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Dayana Singha Dev, Dayana Singha Dev, Dayana Singha Dev, Dayana Singha Dev. Jaya Prabhupada Prabhupada, 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 Jai Prabhupada. Jaya Jagannath, Jaya Jagannath, Jaya Baladeva, Jaya Subhadra.
So I would just like to again give you a little overview over the Mana Shiksha. It has three parts. First of all, it describes the goal and orientation of all Gaudiya Vaishnavas, which is to develop love to Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan. What that means, we will hear a little later. And then it will describe very, very practical what are the obstacles on this road or on this path to pure love of Godhead. And the presentation of Raghunath Das Goswami's short book, it's only 11 verses, ends with the ultimate goal where a Vaishnava attains perfection. So I thought today, in the brief time which we have, I deal a little bit with the part called obstacles and their solutions, because see, when you are on your spiritual path, then at one stage in your life the way becomes even, I would say, or dealing with the way or finding out what is the way takes prominence over the goal. It's almost like if I want to go to India, there is a part in the journey where I'm have to be interested in the airplane, the airline, the best price, the best route also, and this sometimes takes prominence, especially when you are in the airport. You have to concentrate on the best way to reach your goal. It is the goal will always remain in the back somewhere, but for now you deal with the practical things. And this part of the seminar is dedicated a little bit to this. Obviously, as I told you, I'm teaching this seminar over many days and in Vrindavan and other places. Here I can just give you some inspirations or some jewels which hopefully will be useful for your spiritual path. So let us find the first goal, the first obstacle. Let us deal with the first obstacle in your in the spiritual life. I would just like you all to turn to your neighbor now, to get you out of the exhausted mood, and then discuss with your neighbor what you consider an obstacle in your spiritual life at this stage. If you do not wish to talk about details, because it is a little confidential, you can just circumstalk it, you know. I consider the obstacle in my present way that I feel I'm not enough attached to Radha and Krishna really, and I'm more attached to the material world. But if you feel confident to talk really about an obstacle which is in your mind, it will help you tremendously to get a maximum benefit from this seminar. Now, this will be only a short exercise. You have exactly 4 German minutes. Start. First of all, who is your neighbor? Second question, who has not yet found a partner to talk? Okay, look around, and then you can find who is without a partner. Okay, now listen very carefully. Who of you is partner A and who is B? Partner A, raise his hand, please. Okay, partner B goes first. you can start now to discuss your obstacle. 4 minutes. Give each one of you equal time. Now comes a very, very, very important part. Please keep this discussion in your memory, because you will need it. I will request you to for a second part of the exercise in just a little while, because I want to see what you could do, or I would encourage you to find out solutions to the obstacles which you presently face. And I would like to now present to you what Raghunath Das Goswami considers the main obstacles in spiritual life and what solutions he has. So let us start with verse 4. I will read to you the Sanskrit and then the English translation. Asatvata vesya vrijamati sarvasvaharini kata mukti vyakra. Vyakra means tigress. Nashrinu kila savat magilani apityaktva lakshmi patiratim ito vyomanayanim Vraje Radha Krishno Svaratimani Dotvam Bhajamana. Oh, my dear brother mind, please fully give up the prostitute of contemptible discussions which will plunder the entire treasure of your pure wisdom. You must unequivocally give up hearing all talk of liberation, which, like a tigress, will devour your very soul. Furthermore, please abandon even the attachment to Sri Narayan, which leads you to Vaikuntha. Just live in Braj and worship Sri Sri Radha Krishna, who bestow upon their devotees the precious jewel of their Rati. To be very clear, the first obstacle which the sadhaka can face is asat vata vesha. Asat vata vesha is it means business or talk or engagement which is asat, which is bad. Bad talk, bad business, bad engagement. What it means in context with this verse is that you really are attracted to other subjects than your self-realizations, my dear devotees. This is the adi obstacle, the original obstacle, to consider something as more important or equally important than your own self-realization. Can you relate to that? Now everyone looks at me. Of course, but we don't want to say this in public, really. But so let me speak about myself as an example of a fallen devotee. I sometimes see in my life that, yes, there are other things which attract all my attention, all my energy, and so on, my own plans, my own projects, and so on. And sometimes, especially when I go to Vrindavan and review my life, I feel that yes, externally I do this all for Prabhupada and for Krishna, but there's a lot of my own plan in all of this. My own projections, what is Prabhupada's desire, and so on. So the Bhagavatam tells us this is a problem, to be engaged in things which, you know, are either directly opposed to Krishna consciousness, like sex, drugs, and rock and roll. That's from my generation. You have sex, drugs, and hip hop. or other things, you know. It means worldly life or worldly engagement. It still captures, well, let me say, a big subject for ISKCON Germany. It was, at least when I looked into the obstacles of the German devotee, movies. They move me. And I guess that's now, I know we have one temple which has a 5-meter big screen, and I have asked the screen what type of presentations are on the screen, and I found out from the screen directly that 80% of what is on that screen is not really directly in contact with Krishna. It is more entertainment. So when this takes, I mean, I believe it's not such a big problem. The devotees want some stories in their life, but I want to say the next step after looking at Maya is to do Maya, and you really have to stop yourself there if you want your spiritual life to really progress very nicely. So Raghunath Das Goswami calls these engagements, including Prajalpa, a prostitute. I don't know if some of you have seen prostitutes in their lives before they came to Krishna consciousness. I had a disciple who was a previous prostitute. I will not tell you the name. When I preached to her, she just somehow, I didn't ask her what her profession looks like, I think there was someone who was connected with her who told me, see, prostitutes externally look very sweet and beautiful, and they promise something like love to you, but really a prostitute is not after love. They want to take the wealth of the person who becomes their unfortunate customer. So nonsense talk and nonsense engagement is like a prostitute, because this nonsense talk and nonsense engagement steals the wealth of a devotee. What do you consider a wealth or the money of a devotee? Sorry? Devotion? Mm-hmm. Taste? Mm-hmm.
Concentration?
Desire to serve? Shraddha? Mm-hmm. Namaruchi? Very nice. You have brought. I would say the wealth of a devotee is his inclination and determination to engage in devotional service. In Sanskrit, this is called matihi. Matihi means an orientation in life, a determination, a direction. Krishna, bhakti, there's a Sanskrit word which is often quoted, where it is described that the mati is the wealth of a devotee, you know. You're purified this mati or inclination or orientation comes when you associate with devotees. Sometimes when you don't associate with devotees and you associate with non-devotees, you get a non-devotional inclination, right? But when you are with good devotees who don't criticize like other devotees, like it has become unfortunately so much prevalent in our Hare Krishna movement. But if you meet devotees who just don't like to criticize and don't like to engage in this type of prajalpa, you will find out that your mati, your desire, your inclination is born to engage in devotional service. And the opposite is also true. I don't know if you are like me. I sometimes talk bad talks and nonsense. And after such talks, which are maybe politically tainted, you can see that you don't have any longer this desire, this inclination, this enthusiasm in your heart. You think everything and everyone is useless. Huh? Have you noticed when you talk bad things, how quickly it steals away your mati? Yeah, because you have invited, and it is called avesya into your life. Avesya is that person which I have described earlier, prostitute. Huh? She smiles at you. These talks and engagements smile at you. They look very attractive. They look exciting. They look very, very... they promise you something. But they are just like this, the ladies of deceptions. This is a more polite word. A lady, the prostitute is called a lady of deception. She deceives you. Huh? You will find all of a sudden, whoops, when you are with the where's my money? In the same way, when you are engaged in material talks or material engagements, all of a sudden you go like, whoops, where's my determination? Where's my orientation? It is gone. It is stolen. Well, who has done this? Yes, we know. So, here, Raghunath Das Goswami, who talks from a very high level of bhakti, now will say, what are these nonsense talks and nonsense engagements, and he says even to talk about liberation, not politics, you know, liberation. Let me get out of this world. This is called liberation. It is I want liberation. In Krishna consciousness, we would say I want to develop love for Krishna. This would be more appropriate as a subject matter which is proper. And even talk about going to now I hope our pujaris are not here and will not curse me, but for if you want to go to Braj, even attachment to Sri Narayan is called something which takes away your love for Radha and Krishna. And it is discussed like this as not so appropriate for. There's a very nice discussion here in Brihad Bhagavatamrita about subjects which divert your attention for Radha and Krishna. And you can see even moksha and Vaikuntha Vasa is considered by an Ekantika Bhakta as a disturbance on his way. A very good... well, because I want to talk relevantly today, so I will not talk much about it. Now, what? This is the first verse. Live in Braja and worship Sri Sri Radha and Krishna, who bestow upon their devotees the precious jewel of their rati. You know, the solution which Raghunath Das Goswami here gives is that if you want to become free from talk which diverts you from the goal of your life, if you want to become free from attachments to other goals in your life, then you must go to Vrindavan and live in contact with the dust of Vrindavan. And one by one, you will get the strength from living in Vrindavan to give up all those activities which are averse to your spiritual goal. I still think I want to read you this because it's very nice. See, why this concentration on Braj? If you understand the Gop Kumar's experience from Brihad Bhagavatamrita, this will become clear to you. Gop Kumar had been on a long journey and he had finally arrived in the Vaikuntha planets. But as he was approaching Narayan in his majestic surroundings, he could not really get in very close relationship with him. And therefore, no matter how he tried, he could not become totally happy by seeing Lord Narayan because of the formalities created by the vastly majestic surroundings and by the associates. So sometimes Gop Kumar just wanted to become closer in love to Narayan, and he begged and begged and begged the associates of Narayan, who then said, okay, 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 and gave him the intimate personal service of fanning Lord Narayan with the chamara. So when Gop Kumar was there fanning a four-handed Lord Narayan with the chamara, he sometimes felt, oh, the Lord looks so beautiful. So he took out his flute and started to play on his flute and loudly repeated, O Krishna!
O
Gopal!
O Gopal!
Now, when the Vaikunthavasis heard this, they came to Gop Kumar outside of the Lord's presence and spoke to him in very serious terms, you know, like teachers instructing a student, or like the GBC talking to someone who is offline. Huh? You should not address the Lord of Lords like this. Don't play the flute and say, oh, Gopal. And don't sing his praises that way. Just recite the standard prayers about his unlimited and amazing pastimes. Now, Lord Narayan, who is the knower of everyone's mind, could understand the suffering of Gop Kumar and why he was disturbed. And therefore, at times, he transformed himself into the darling son of Nanda Maharaj. In other words, he also played the flute and he allowed his forearms to disappear, and he was there looking like Krishna. Also, the Lord's personal attendants turned into the cowherd boys. And in this way, the Lord played in his Vaikuntha gardens like a cowherd managing his cows. Hey, Dawali, shh, 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 come here, drink, shh, shh. The cow comes and so on. Now, he did this in order to comfort Gop Kumar, who was a lover of Krishna. Gop Kumar observed the Lord doing this for him, but he reacted like this. Even so, because I knew that he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and because I remembered that I had come to Vaikuntha Loka, feelings of respect and reverence would arise in me, and these would block my pure love and leave my mind dissatisfied. In other words, Gop Kumar could remember, yes, I am with the Lord, but the Lord here is in Vaikuntha, and he doesn't deal so personally and so lovingly as he with his devotees, as he deals in Vrindavan with them. And then Gop Kumar felt also that the mood of Vaikuntha in some ways affected his own mood. I don't know if you can understand, but when you come to a certain place, then you, and there is a certain mood, a certain style of behaving, then you somehow don't want to behave so freely and naturally as you do with those who are close to your heart. So Gop Kumar then remembers something. He remembers the special favors he had received from Gopal Dev during his meditation on the Gopal Mantra. Do you know that he meditated about this powerful Gopal Mantra, and often he would see, you know, the face of Gopal. And he remembered the embraces of his Gopal, his kisses, the mercy he had directly obtained. So therefore he felt afflicted in his heart because that was not available in Vaikuntha. My dear devotees, I wanted to give you this little window into the mood of Raghunath Das Goswami. Raghunath Das Goswami is pointing us towards the highest goal, a personal loving exchange with Krishna. That is what this book brings us to. And everything else which stops short of that, wie sagt man das in Deutsch, alles andere, was nicht dieses Ziel erreicht und da vor diesem Ziel aufhört, is considered by Raghunath Das Goswami a distraction. But let me now bring this high subject into our reality, and then we will arrive at that famous Bhagavatam shloka, which says to consider a subject, any other subject than your own self-realization, to be more important than your self-realization. That's the greatest obstacle. Nochmal. Wenn man irgendein Thema außer der eigenen Selbstverwirklichung für wichtiger ansieht als die Selbstverwirklichung, ist diese Betrachtung das größte Hindernis. Ja? I think we can all understand this. We are now for, you know, we are in Krishna consciousness and we want to develop dependency on Krishna, and if we consider other subjects as more important, how can we place our energy and our full faith and our whole life into this direction? It's not possible. So therefore Raghunath Goswami says, be careful with these other goals. They smile at you and they say, I can satisfy you very much, but they won't. Today I had a discussion with a wonderful devotee. The devotee told me he wants to study at the university because he just cannot push it off any longer. He has that feeling he should do it. And I said, that is very fine, that is very good, as long as you see it on the second place. That is, as long as you see it as a means, a mittel, to reach your goal, Krishna consciousness. Because our understanding as devotees has to be first things first, which is my absorption in Krishna, my relationship with Krishna comes first. And if the university study, which will equip me maybe with a possibility to earn a decent livelihood, in case that devotee goes into the leaves the brahmachari ashram, goes into the grihastha ashram, then it's very, very good. But if you become totally absorbed in material subject matters, how can you concentrate your mind on Krishna? And these material subject matters will steal your energy, will steal your mati away from you. So that was the first instruction. Krishna. Now I will go deeply psychologically. I will deal with Mr. Lust. Is that all right for you? That will be a little intense. We are starting slowly, now it gets intense. Don't worry, I won't get too intense, because in that second part, in this next verse, I will mostly speak about solutions which work. And then I will leave ample space for questions. I will only do one more verse and then we will stop and see if you have any questions. Asachesta kashta prada vikata pashali biha prakamanka madi prakata patapati vyati karai kalebat vahanye hamiti bakabit vatma pagane guru tvam putkara navati sayata tvam manaita. My dear mind, the highwayman, Lust and his followers have bound me by the neck with the painful ropes of wicked deeds. My mind, you are caught by Lust and his followers. Please, please, call out to the powerful and merciful devotees, the protectors of the bhakti path leading to Krishna, who is the killer of Bakasura, so that they will protect you. So the problem which is here very nicely discussed is, a person is on his journey. He goes to a very high... he goes from his village to another, to a town, and is on the highway now, on the direct road, in other words. And all of a sudden, as he progresses, unexpectedly maybe, highwaymen come. These are, in contemporary language, gangster, highwayman. You know, wie sagt man das wohl in Deutsch? Die Highwaymen are not police people. No, no, they are Gundas, Mafiosos, thieves, ropes, robbers, gangsters. Ne? Lust and his followers, that's their names. They come and take him captive. They put a rope around his neck. And the rope which binds you is not really lust, that we all have. But if you engage in lusty activities, you will see, you are bound. So you cannot move freely any longer. You are a slave now. You want more and more and more. Valadev Vidyabhushana talks about this attack of lust. He talks about a devotee who again and again thinks in his mind about sense objects and thinks he will derive pleasure from them. Do you sometimes do this? Daydream of sense enjoyment? Oh, it would be so nice if I would be in a romantic embrace. No? Or you think of in other ways, What you will see is by contemplating about this or thinking about it, personal attachment will rise. From such attachment, lust develops, and from lust, anger arises. So Baladev says, for the yogi who repeatedly thinks about sense objects and thinks he will derive pleasure from them, attachment to those objects arises. Because of that attachment, thirst or great desires for these pleasures come. I think this is now psychology pure. Huh? When those longings or desires are spoiled, in other words, you don't reach what you want, then sometimes anger comes up, a burning in the heart. From anger comes the loss of discrimination. You don't know what is proper or improper action. And from that, samoha arises, the destruction of the memory of one's plans to attempt to conquer the senses. You know, this is a heavy warning, really, to be careful with this daydreaming, because from the daydreaming, lust develops, and then all the other things, and finally, you actually forget your goal in life. You think, oh, I want to do this now. From the destruction of such determination, one again sinks into the ocean of material enjoyment and continues in samsara. So what should you do? I don't want to now go into this analysis because it's the end of a festival and we really don't want to hear about problems now. We want to hear about solutions. We are tired and we think, where's my bed and so on. And so let us... Where is shelter? Raghunath Das Goswami says there is this autobahn to Krishna and there are then these highwaymen, but there is an autobahn polizei. I think you know what that is, an autobahn police, who guards the path against these worldly attachments which come. And this shelter really is there in the association of devotees who, you know, when you feel that my mind is already invaded by these highwaymen, go to devotees, discuss your case. You know, but it must be the right devotees, not the devotee who hears you and then next moment he's on the internet. Dandavat.com, public German forum. I had a discussion with Krishna Das, and Krishna Das told me, no, you have to do it to a confidential devotee who keeps it confidential. Huh? These devotees are already on a stage which you may have reached also, but which is now, because of the attachments, no longer so much clear to you. They have become materially fatigued. Versteht ihr das in Deutsch? Also wenn ihr bestimmte englische Worte, ich versuche nämlich gerade Englisch zu lernen und da lerne ich jetzt natürlich viele Vokabeln, die materially fatigued, you're tired of it. You don't want this any longer. You had it maybe in a previous life and you, it really is no longer attractive to you. So when you think so much about material things, you become materially not fatigued but materially awake. Wow. Woohoo, you know. Woohoo, you know. You know, and you you just become just materially attracted or connected or so. But devotees, real devotees, shouldn't be materially fatigued. Prabhupada once said, only when someone is materially fatigued, he can take up Krishna consciousness. One becomes materially fatigued by associating with devotees. You feel when you are with devotees, you feel material things are not so important. What are the Rolling Stones? They are really poor people. They are not so important. Or what is money? I mean, you can't buy the important things for money. There is one poem which I would like to read to you, where one acharya says, my dear Lord, your devotees are so extraordinary because they are simply not interested in the things which the whole world is after. They think the whole ocean is not more than a puddle, eine kleine Pfütze. They think the sun is a mere firefly, so klein wie ein Insekt. Right? They think that the big Sumeru mountain of gold is as important as a little ball of dirt. And they think when they look at a king of the world, like Obama, he is a slave. What is so special about him? They think priceless touchstone gems are like so many useless stones. Even, you know, the Stein der Weisen is not holds no interest. They think the wish-fulfilling trees are as important as little twigs, you know, twigs, kleine Zweige. And when they look at material existence and the other pleasures material existence has to offer, they think it's as insignificant as a bunch of straw. What more is there to say? They think their own bodies are heavy burdens only. So devotees are materially not so interested, and when you meet devotees and engage with them, you know, have an exchange with them, you will see how some of their qualities will enter your own heart and you lose this torture of material interest, this which makes you like a slave. Lust, in other words, and his other complices or whatever, his followers, are no longer powerful over you. The Srimad Bhagavatam describes what happens when you come in contact with a devotee and you come close to a devotee, come close to his heart. They say, first, the Bhagavatam says, first hope is revived. You think, okay, there is some hope after all. I don't know if you feel that when you come within devotee association. Do you sometimes feel there's hope? My case is not hopeless. No, we feel like this. The next thing is your certain ignorance which you have, maybe misconceptions, illusions, are destroyed. And the next is you begin to feel something in your heart, some warm feeling is in your heart. That means spiritual strength comes in your heart. It's almost, the Bhagavatam gives this comparison, like say someone is lost in the darkness of the night. That happened the other day to me. I was on a walk and I got lost and I was alone and it was dark and it was winter. And I think I was in Sarajevo or some wild place, you know. So then say someone is lost, huh? And he sees in the distance a fire. Immediately he thinks, hope, I'm not lost. Where there's fire, there will be human beings. So then he comes closer, and first he stumbles because it's so dark, but then as he comes closer, he begins to see his path very clearly. And finally, he can come to where the fire is and sit next to the men who have the fire on and warm himself. So this is what happens when you have real devotee association. First, there's hope. I'm not a hopeless case. Something will happen in my life. I can also follow this and that. Then, the darkness in your life, the illusion which really made you a slave of lust, which is so that you just couldn't see any longer, it goes. And finally, you feel... This warmth is there in the heart, this warmth of spiritual strength, it will come. No? This is how the Bhagavatam describes proper devotee association. Hope, illusions are destroyed, and warmth, spiritual strength comes. Rupa Goswami describes about association, and I think it's important so that we understand why is the association of devotees so important. You know, I don't know if you are also like some of the devotees which we meet. Some devotees were, before they came to Krishna consciousness, they were lonely wolves. Do you know what is meant with this expression? Einsiedler, like hermits, a little bit for themselves. They were not so people of the society. I do remember I was certainly like that. When there were shopping centers, let us say he was a shopping street, I would never go over the shopping street because I just hated this materialistic atmosphere. I was just going at the next street. And by this... in the beginning of my worldly life, you know, when puberty came, I visited every party I could get on, you know, and visited every concert and so on. But later, as I became older, I avoided these things because I felt I was not really nourished. I was not given inspiration, and therefore I developed a lonely attitude, you know. And I think many devotees were a little bit like this. Huh? You don't want, before you become a devotee, you just don't mix with the crowd any longer so much. So I think all of us have a little bit the lonely wolf syndrome. No? I think it's natural. You know, because we objected to a certain materialistic way. Now all of a sudden we are told sadhu sangha. And it's not so easy. Especially when we are told open your heart. Just don't just be there with your body, but you know, just have proper association. We feel like, no, let me be a little bit superficial, but not, let me not. And also we are sometimes so much disappointed when we opened our heart and somehow something went wrong. Huh? That we again go back inside. We may smile. Hi Bol. Obeisances. Babu, obeisances. Dandavat. What's new? But we don't come to that deep area where we share our life with someone else. No, we keep that very much protected. So why, we need to understand why do the scriptures always say association with devotees is so powerful and necessary? Well, in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu there is a shloka which is very important for us to understand why. Yasya yatsangati pungso manivatsyat satat gunaha svakula radyaitato dimam svayutanyeva sangshayet. It's the verse says, in association something happens. And it gives an example now, the verse. Like a glass crystal, a person takes on the qualities of those with whom he comes in contact. One who is intelligent should therefore seek the company of those who have the same ideals as he in order to develop their good qualities in himself. Now, Jiva Goswami goes now into the detail. He says in his tika purport, when one places a red hibiscus flower in front of a crystal, the crystal turns red. Can you understand the example? There's a, let us say, a Rosenquartz crystal. Huh? No, that's Rosenquartz. That's not a good example. A Bergkristall, you know, this white thing, like a crystal. And you put a red hibiscus flower. There's hibiscus tea. Hibiscus flowers are this big. And they put, you can put them behind the ear if you want. Women put them in their hair for decoration. If you put such a red flower before that white crystal, the white crystal is no longer white. It turns red. The same thing happens, Jiva Goswami continues, when we keep the company of other people. Their qualities and also their flaws means mistakes, are transmitted to us. For this reason, we should only keep company with people who have the kinds of qualities we want to develop. The Sanskrit word svayutani here is synonymous, gleichbedeutend, with sajatiya, having the same aspiration. My dear devotees, if you want high magic in your life, have association with high magic people. Or let me express it in less sensational terms. If you want an exalted destination with exalted aspirations, have association with those who have these destinations or aspirations. Bhaktivinoda Thakur tells us that your life will be auspicious if you remain with people who have the same aspirations as you and keep the others who have other aspirations in the distance. To the extent that one associates with people, one will attain the fruits one seeks. This is Bhajan Rahasya. So this is very important. If you feel you are getting worldly minded, the highway robbers get control over your life and you become more and more attracted to material things, or you become like me, a desert in your heart where there are no spiritual feelings any longer, go to the association of people who have these high aspirations. It is said, if you can't get these high first class association, you can associate by reading the thoughts of them. You know, like for instance, that's why it's so important to associate with Prabhupada through his purports. You know, to read some purports of Prabhupada which will put you back on the track, you know. Like I told you that I was once in a very weak condition of life, I was just physically very weak, and I heard a lesson of Prabhupada, a lecture, which totally changed my life. Prabhupada only had to ask one question, what, that was in the lecture, what do you do for eternity? I was reformed. I immediately made changes in my life. Yeah, I will now do something for eternity. No? Because association is so powerful. It especially, my dear devotees, if you let the association into your heart, let the sunshine of association in. Don't close the window and the door of your heart. Let it come in and you will see some light will come. I would like to end this session now and open it for question and answer by reading with you a scriptural quotation from Prema Bhakti Chandrika. It's a book which Narottam Das Thakur wrote. It's called The Moon Rays of Loving Devotion. It's a good title, huh? Die Mondstrahlen der lebenden Hingabe. Let us now associate with Narottam Das Thakur through reading his texts. Are you ready?
Yes.
We'll make some. Just imagine you are in the association. You leave the farm. You come to Keturi Gram, where this great exalted personality Narottam Das Thakur sits. It is described Narottam Das eyes were constantly wet because of the tears of love which he cried for Krishna. And you sit in his lecture. He's there with a few of his disciples and you can sit at the back and you hear his words, the words of a real powerful Vaishnav, a person who has reached what you wish to reach. And he preaches now. The material world is cheating you. Lusty desires are killing you by hanging you with ropes. O servant of Hari, lament, lament. Associate with devotees and engage in discussing the topics of love of God. Then, O servant of Hari, all your dangers will go away. You have had hundreds of wives. You have had hundreds of husbands in the past. You had your children. They all have been born and they all died. Why are you not careful now? Oh, you are frustrated with material sense objects. Why have you not worshipped the lotus feet of Hari, O servant of Hari? Please go to your only protection and deliverance. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare
It's very interesting to see this work, Mana Shiksha, or instruction to the mind, has appeared in the post-Chaitanya era, that is, directly after Gauranga Mahaprabhu's appearance. And it was read by the generations of Vaishnavas and applied. These instructions were wegweisend. They pointed out the way. Much later, or a little later, a few generations later, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur took his pen and wrote on his palm leaves. And he wrote something which is very much echoing the mood of this verse. He must have had this verse in mind when he wrote in Vrindavan. And I think it's interesting for us to hear what he wrote, how he digested Raghunath Das Goswami's instructions and put them into life, because it shows us a little bit how the scriptures of old informed the lives and the concepts of the generations which followed afterwards. He writes, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, "O mind, the plunderers in the form of material existence are killing you by binding your neck with the ropes of lusty desires." He also speaks of plunderers who take these lusty desires and bind you, no? "This happened since time immemorial. Now call out, my mind, call out to the devotees of Krishna immediately and convey your pathetic condition," you know. Tell them about your sad condition, because only the devotees of Krishna are able to deliver you. I found this very interesting. All right. We have 25 minutes now for questions and answers. But before I will go into this session, I want to request you to again turn to your neighbor. What will come now? And yes, wait before Anasuya, before we talk. Now, please remember, you talked about your obstacles in spiritual life, huh? At least you approached your obstacles. Now I want you to turn to your neighbor and tell your neighbor what would be a solution to your obstacle. Is the question clear? Hare Krishna! You are surprised. But this is important. We need to solve this, Rasayana. So you have 4 minutes. Please get into heavy discussions now. Thank you. If you have joined us and you didn't have a partner, you can just join anyone, also a group. Huh? No need to. I feel this little exercise that is digging a little deep in our soul and finding the obstacles there, which are on our way, and then looking for solutions to these obstacles in the association of devotees is exactly what Raghunath Das Goswami is pointing out in this first two verses of obstacles and their solutions. He gets now into a very deep analysis of why we consider other things to be more important than our self-realization, and why we are also sometimes controlled by our material desires. He goes to the root of the problems, and it may be interesting for you to hear his analysis. I felt very, very he asked the question, if you are successful in getting over these material attachments, what is an even greater enemy than this? And he says deceitfulness or kapata. Kapata means you want to show yourself to be someone who you are not. You want to in German we say, du willst in einem guten Licht dastehen. You know, you want to be seen as someone lovable, someone who's all right, and so on. And you are deceiving yourself and others. Why are we like this? And in the last verse, where he discusses obstacle, he comes to the root, what he considers the root of our problems is, we have turned away from Krishna, and instead of praising Krishna, we want to praise ourselves, or put ourselves in the center. And that he considers the Adi problem. So then in verse 8, he describes how to again turn to Krishna in love and devotion. It's a very, very deep discussions, and maybe when we have another opportunity to meet, we can discuss this in detail. I'm constantly giving now retreats and courses on these subjects, and if you have time, please watch the ISKCON web pages, and you will see these retreats or courses or seminars somewhere. And if you want, you're most welcome to attend or listen to the recordings of these seminars, which may be more practical and cheap for you. Good. Now, let me open the forum for questions. Let me see if you have any questions on these subjects or other subjects. Gaura Hari has one. Bhakta, wie heißt du nochmal? Bhakta Manuel, ja, Shyama Chandra. Our good name? Subramanian from South India. Very good. Yes, so let us start with Gaura Hari. Yes. Oh, maybe I didn't. Did I look at the Mataji? There was, at this point, no Mataji question. Good. Yes.
We were just now discussing about the solution we think for our obstacles.
Good.
And I noticed I know many solutions that I do not practice.
Yeah.
And I felt a little sorry. Where do we find the strengths? So many times we know what we have to do, but we don't get the strength or the motivation. Yeah. So where do we find the strength to follow those?
Here's a question for those who listen to our tapes. I know many solutions, but I don't practice them. From where do I get the strength? The Bhagavatam says from the devotees of Krishna. I think we looked at this example. When you are lost in the darkness of the night, a fire will give you hope, orientation, where to go, and ultimately warmth, so that you don't have to suffer from the cold. So in the association of devotees, if it is properly done, you can get all this. I found out, if you want to associate with devotees and you want to experience a solution to an obstacle, you have to do that one step, which is so difficult for us, to open our hearts in confidence. And just open it. At that moment, Gaurahari, the first feeling you have is, I'm now very vulnerable, no protection. The truth is out about me. At least this one person knows it. And I think one is a little bit shy to do that. So you have to find a devotee to whom you can do that, and then hear some advices. I'm very convinced because of own experiences in my Krishna consciousness. Allow yourself to become vulnerable. Don't do this what we usually do, to cover over our faults and be deceitful. I don't mean this in a condescending way, you know, auf eine herablassende Art und Weise will ich das nicht sagen. Deceitful. It's just a natural thing. We just like to have a facade, you know, because it's so painful if someone really sees what I think sometimes. My God! You know. But if you want to have help, that's what you have to do. It's in the process of opening up, and where you come to this place of humility. Not humility, the Sanskrit word is dainya. You begin to feel you have to confront that you are. Let's take the word which is used in our philosophy. You are wretched, wretchedized. Du bist durch und durch verdorben. You know, and this will bring you to that level where you feel real remorse, in Deutsch, zerknirschtheit, you know. Yes, I'm using these words deliberately. From there you come. See, you have to come to a turning point. Do you know when we had this just a few days ago? We were in the Dharma Castle and we had the most wonderful evening with ecstatic devotees, and then we tried to go back to where we live, our Gora Bhavan, and we drove with a car. All of a sudden, there was Vinay, all of a sudden Ranga Devi says, I think we are on the wrong road. We think, why do you think like this? Well, this is not familiar here, this area. Okay, we are on the wrong road. Maybe we have to admit it that we are on the wrong road. This should be the right road, you know. And I also said, well, let's try a little bit more, you know. And so we kept on going on that road, which was wrong, until we finally came to the turning point where we said, stop now, this is enough, you know, Ranga Devi is right, she is more intelligent than us in roads and cooking, so let's follow Ranga Devi and, you know, let's look at the map and so on. And And then we the turning point, it only comes when you admit you are wrong. Unless you admit that you are wrong, you know all the solution. But let me go a little bit more in that direction. Turning point. A little difficult to come. It you need to really confront, I'm helpless. And sometimes, Gaurahari, Krishna has to help the devotee to come to this point. The way that happens is Krishna takes things away from the devotee which give him reason to be sure about himself. You know, and Krishna said, something happens, another thing happens, and then finally, another thing, oh no, not another thing, and then finally you have to admit that, okay, if I want to get out of this hellish situation, I better turn around, admit that I'm wrong. Hare Krishna. Yes, another question was there. Bhakta Manuel. Yeah.
Like, I understood the solution is that we are going in the association of devotees. But I feel sometimes this is far about my ability to associate with devotees, like, to listen or nothing entering.
Nothing coming. Yes, your situation is a typical situation that, yes. You know what, I would recommend you sleep enough. Yes, you should look at me, what? So simple. Sometimes we are a little bit exhausted and we are socially incapable because we are just so, you know. Sometimes take a little rest, take a little easy, take a little rest. Don't, you know, then it will be easier for many of us. I have seen many problems dissolve by sending the crying people who come to my rooms with their problems to bed. And then let's meet after 8 hours of your sleep, huh? And then they come, and then I ask, how is it now? And they say, well, a bit, little better, you know. It's really. I'm talking. I'm in this for 40 years. I know what I have. Sometimes we are too strained, especially as bhaktas. Everything is, you know, everything is just happening so much. A new culture, a new perspective, a new lifestyle. Showers every day, so much showers. You know, you never had them in. You had maybe 7 showers in 1 month before. Now you have it every day, you know, 2 showers sometimes, or, you know, and so many new cultural imports, concepts, and so on, and no time to digest. When I said sleep, I meant digest the, and so on. But then, yes, then see if you can find devotees whom you can place your faith in, or who are devotee friends, you know. When you are capable for social dealings, you know. After all, devotee association is a social dealing. There's another human being, and it requires some social capabilities to associate. Some flow of communication needs to take place. For this nowadays, people get training in communication seminars. Why communication seminars? It's like breathing seminars or walking seminars, because people have forgotten how to communicate. They are socially incapable. And if that is the case with you, I don't know you so well, then, you know, yeah, then that's the starting point to start with, to become more socially available and more able to interchange with others. I don't think that's your problem, Bhakti Manuel. I think you need to digest a little bit the many informations, and then when you are well digested, when alles gut verarbeitet ist, you know, then you can interchange. Mm-hmm. Good. There was I saw Shyamachanda. Shyamachanda, yes.
I'm not sure if I can express myself also properly in this way. Mm-hmm. But when we hear these instructions of Harman Das Goswami, go to Braj, give all up this worldly desires which are like prostitutes, then when I read it, then I think it's for everyone. And because everybody, I think, agrees that so many things we do are nonsense in the ultimate sense. But then on the other side, isn't it that also Raghunath Das Goswami, when he wanted to join the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, got the instruction, just stay at home for a time and develop your attachment, and then at one point you can come. Isn't it? I'm not sure.
Yeah, very good point.
So, how do I know? Because sometimes I think it's just a question of courage. Okay, I give up everything, I go to Braj in the association of devotees.
This is wonderful. We had Anandavan and myself were intensely discussing this on the. It's a wonderful question. Thank you so much. But I haven't. I'm so enthusiastic about your question. Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because I see many devotees who try it. After a few years, they come back and maybe then they have to face the obstacles which they was running away, maybe for their desires, or they came again. And so it's difficult to judge. Is it possible for everyone just to follow these instructions or kapata?
Yeah. Is it another kapata? Yeah. Very good question, Siavachana. Yes, Siavachana thinks very deeply. Yes, let me attempt an answer. I'm so happy that you asked this question, because I think it's a very important question for all of us to deal with. There's a gradual path, and there that is definitely there. The gradual path. Today, two devotees came to me, wonderful devotees, and both were in the same situation. They wanted to study. So one devotee of them, he's not here with us, one of these devotees said, I study music and I find that I'm developing now a great attachment to music. First I thought, well, I just study it and to become a teacher, fürs Lehramt. I can now really see. I want to know how to compose this music. I want to learn the rules of this music. And I'm thinking, is this killing my interest in Krishna consciousness? I find myself so much going in this direction, in the direction of what was started as a harmless hobby. You know, now I'm really attached to it. And I said, you have luck that you are on the bhakti path. If you would be on the jnana path, jnana yoga, it would not be permissible. Es würde verboten sein, oder es würde nicht gestattet sein, das zu machen. But on the bhakti path, we have something which we call yukta vairagya, appropriate renunciation. And then I want to be now concrete. Then I told him, why do you separate Bach and his music? You know, we talked about Bach music, which apparently is very intricate and very, I don't know it very, I don't know it so well, I know a few, but it is, why do you separate this from Krishna? Bach composed for God. It's divine music. So why not think I'm developing an interest to study this, and then to think, well, I will use this in Krishna's service. So here in appropriate renunciation or Yukta Vairagya, you don't keep the goal out of sight. But you see what is an appropriate approach for you towards this goal. Now, I know you have heard this many times, and it's not, you could have given this answer up till now much better than me. I know this because we have discussed about this, and I know that you know this. You're a preacher in Krishna consciousness. I want to take this understanding now, which is commonplace with Kendas Ale, a step further, which is important. I think we need to regularly associate with our goal. And that we can do, for instance, when we hear now, run to Vrindavan, we can do this in the mind. I know some devotees who were in Vrindavan and who go to the Vrindavan in their minds. They go and make a Radha Kund Parikrama. And today in the morning I was disturbed about something connected with the festival, and I was really thinking, oh my God, I don't want to think now about these things while I chant my rounds. Where is shelter for my restless mind? And I went in my mind to Vrindavan, to a simple place where I stayed, Govindakund, and mentally sat there and looked at Govindakund and Giriraj, Govardhan. And I could immediately feel the influence of Vrindavan calming my mind and attracting my mind. You know, when Raghunath Das Goswami says we should associate with Vrindavan, you can do this either by living there or you can mentally go there. And I think this technique is not known to many devotees in Germany. It is a very important technique. Bhakti comes by five processes, and one of them is Mathura Vas. It's important, you know. If you want bhakti, the five things work for you, and this is one. You can't, I mean, if this is there, you have to see how can you do that. And this was an example which I wanted to go to give. Vrindavan, Shyam Chandra, it took me a long, long, long time to understand how much benefit is there in Vrindavan, and also Mayapur and Ganga and so on. But these are, you know, this is Krishna manifesting in the world as in his house, you know. And you can go to this house, knock, and find out Krishna is only a prayer away from you. It's so, Krishna is so close in his holy Dham. So therefore, it is something which, you know, it's not intelligent if we ignore these things. But how to approach this holy Dham, that must be done. I also can't live there. I'm not physically able to tolerate the intense temperature, nor am I, I feel I must please Prabhupada with active service in the West by trying to spread Krishna consciousness in some way, to get his blessings, to eventually be more connected to Braj. Braj is more than a spot on the map, on the land map. It's a gate to Brinda, to the spiritual world. It's important if you want to get there, to go through the gate. It's an embassy. You get your visa there. Shoop, to go. Prabhupada said everyone who dies in Vrindavan goes back to God, and even the goat, and even the butcher. That's what Harikesh Prabhu remembers Prabhupada saying. I hope his memory is accurate. But everyone goes. So this was an example of dealing with a high spiritual subject and then doing it in an appropriate way. That is, in this case, maybe mentally going to Vrindavan, or maybe that is still too early for some of us because we have not been physically there enough. It means to hear about the kingdom of God really more, and so on. We have to see how to get our way. Now comes another subject, and I know this is a very delicate subject in a preaching movement. I must first see that my youngest listener is satisfied with the presentation. Wenn du siehst, dass dein Kind noch nicht ganz ruhig, ganz zufrieden ist mit meiner Präsentation, oh, die hört nicht zu, machen, gut. So, here comes the point where you have to deal with this responsibly on your own. Krishna talks in the Uddhava Gita about mind control. Those who have been in my lectures have heard this many times, but I still repeat. And he said, to control your mind, you have to be like an expert horseman. Horseman heißt so ein Pferdedresseur. Ne? So you have to know when to let the mind a little bit free will and when you bring it back to Krishna. I very much like the presentations yesterday, which were about this. You know, there was one devotee who really played so nice, Markandeya. Ooh, it was so good. Or the hip-hop people, the hip-hop devotees, Paramashreya, Madhupati, Shivatma. You could see, to do such music, I think one has to like. They like this music, because it's quite complex. You have to know when to stop and when to start. It's not so easy as it sounds, you know. You need to know the playback back track like you need know your heartbeat, you know. It's dum, 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 it's something automatically. And but they have texted in a Krishna conscious way. I think we all felt highly enlivened by the texts and the pictures and the images which they evoked when they sang their songs. Very, very, very good. Yukta Vairagya. These were... we also did this, but we did it with Led Zeppelin music, you know. We were from a different generation. When we were a Nityananda group, we played the Zoli of Jimmy Page, beautiful Zolis, I still can appreciate them, but I cannot listen to them because Gaura Hari is living in Gaura Bhavan. Not possible. And I'm happy. I'm so right, you know. I renounce, I will get intense problems from Gaura Hari. So I'm joking. It's not so bad. I mean, I'm not so that attached. So Yukta Vairagya, use it in Krishna's service. I think that's a very good, and let, you know, but bring your mind back to the goal, you know. Now, in this field, there is a lot of leeway. If we want to look at this subject, you know, we ultimately have to see how much can married people, show their affection to each other. That they have to decide, but they have to, you know, it's a very responsible subject matter. How much you let the mind go in a way which doesn't get you into trouble, so to say. That is a very that's a subject matter which I feel as a sannyasi I shouldn't talk about it. It's not my ashram to think about these things. I don't think it's good for every one of us to run to Vrindavan and to stay there. But I think in our mind we should run to, somehow we should run to the to Vrindavan in a way which is appropriate for us, and we should deal with the world through which we run to get to Vrindavan in an appropriate way, and using the things of this world to help us to reach the goal of our marathon, the marathon to Vrindavan. This is a simple answer. I mean, if there are particular details, I think they need to be discussed privately, because when it gets to this is a principle, but now how to apply the principle, that is a matter of your own responsibility for your spiritual life, which you take, your advancement. And maybe you will make some mistakes on the road. You will go too far on the road of Yukta Vairagya, and you will try to engage things, and you can see, begin to think, oh my God, these things, they are not any longer following my plans. They have their own dynamic, you know. And then, you know, I went a little bit too far. Maybe you will also make mistakes, but I believe Krishna will forgive. He's so kind, and he understands. He's so very kind. And if you just know where is your ultimate shelter, and on the way you blow it. Sometimes in the detail, you may lose a fight, but you won't lose the battle ultimately, because Krishna is so kind, so very kind and understanding. And he understands. We are trying, but we are not yet perfect. Therefore, really, the ultimate thing in Krishna consciousness is, or let me say, the ultimate advice is, hear about Krishna. And Raghunath Das Goswami will get to this. Hear about Krishna so that you become more attached to Krishna, and absorb your consciousness in the Bhagavatam daily, and in the wonderful nature of Krishna, his personal qualities like his mercifulness towards his devotees. And then as Krishna comes more and more into the core of your heart, these unpleasant desires, which we know we shouldn't have, but we still have them, they will go away, for sure. Krishna. That's why in our retreat culture, who are we to say such a bombastic word, in our efforts to do retreats, Bhujam Prabhu and myself have really arrived simultaneously at the conclusion we need to supply the devotees not just instructions to do this or that, we need to supply them first-class Krishna Katha. That is important. Krishna. Good. There was an. I think we have reached. Yes, we have reached the time. 6:15. Now, I have an idea. May I ask all of you? Are you? Ich aber du musst wahrscheinlich irgendwo hin, oder? Du kannst. Bitte. Are you still here in the evening? you are not going, I mean, yeah. I'm thinking what to do in the evening, but maybe we want to have a little, I suggest maybe what we can do is we can just sing a little for Krishna, a few bhajans, and then those of you who want to come, they come, but those of you who want to relax, please relax. So I will be there at the beginning, or no, I will come, I will join, maybe at around 8 o'clock, I think, then I can see the last devotees now, and let's see how it develops. So I thank you very, very much. In case I don't see you, goodbye. Tomorrow I will jump into my Vimana. Wish you all the best, and Hare Krishna.